This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com, use the code SHOW20 for 20% off and free shipping. Now, after using Manscaped, I can finally say I have caught the spring fever. Introducing the season's champ, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little bit off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also features dual LED spotlights to guide you through the darkest winter debris. Navigate with confidence in your delicate areas. Hate making a mess? Not to worry, this bad boy is waterproof. Shave in the shower, in the bath, even in the ocean. Personally, I love this thing because it comes with a compact case. I take it wherever I go, and spring cleaning doesn't just have to apply to your nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit and Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SHOW20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SHOW20 at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FM Show. I am your host, Tony Jameson, and joining me, as always, is my sweeper keeper on attack, the one and only Aaron Falloon, a.k.a. RDF Tactics. Aaron, how are you, my man?
I am very good. I am very good. Finally got a save going on the good old Football Manager 2024, so no longer just trying out tactics because I've finally settled on one. I'm finally falling in love. Yeah, finally falling in love with a tactic. It's a 4-3, no, a 4-2-1-3. I don't even know the numbers anymore.
Fall in love with something. I just fall in love with something.
It just looks so beautiful as well. It looks so beautiful. And I've tried it at like just different teams. Because at first I tried it at Young Boys in Switzerland. And as I was looking at it, I was like, this is perfect for Manchester United. Did it at Manchester United, the tweet blew up, so I was like, I've got to make a video. So I done the video. But then today, this morning, I was like, I want to try this in the save. So I went over to Norway, where Tromso, we managed to complete a season in the whole day, but we'll do that save update a little later. But yeah, I'm very pumped up.
Good. Pumped. I'm glad you're bringing the energy, because someone's got to do it and it ain't going to be me. Should say as well, though, before we get started on today's episode, probably address the fact that producer Steve hasn't been around for the past few weeks. And basically, Steve has been doing a lot of work for Tifo as part of their Football Tactics podcast. And with the Euros coming up, rather than stretching himself a little bit too thin, he has made the difficult decision to step down from the FM show. Now, obviously, Aaron and myself, we want to say a massive thank you to Steve for all the hard work he's done for us, both here on the FM show and when we were part of The Athletic. He taught us about these things called scripts and being on time and booking things in advance. But in all seriousness, though, he was great to work with. And of course, he will be missed, won't he, Aaron?
Oh, absolutely. We're still using his old script as a template. For
Don't tell him that.
But he would definitely be missed, man. So obviously, I wouldn't be podcasting if it wasn't for him being on The Athletic before. It was him and Ian McIntosh. And then I was being invited as guest a couple times. Then they invited me to be a host. But that was obviously through the recommendation from Steve as well. So I appreciate that. And I've learned a lot of things because I remember having guests on the show, then speaking over the guest on the show. So it was like, yeah, I wasn't the best host, but obviously it was the first time podcasting. And he made me comfortable with it, to be honest, because it can be daunting. It it could have been daunting, I should say, but I found it a pretty exciting, pretty comfortable. I did get the nerves, but you're supposed to get that nerves before you're recording, right?
Yeah, that's 100%.
Supposed to happen, yeah. 100%.
And for me as well, like even when we did it with The Athletic, when we record in audio wise, like I'm very used to just doing stuff in one take, which obviously was why we do video now.
But
breaking it down to go like, no, like redo it, get the intonation right. Like, and it's like, that was cool, like to learn all that sort of presenting skills rather than just the hosting that I normally do. It was being more of a presenter than a host. So that was great. Yeah. And also as well, not just the actual technical stuff, but hanging out in real life and doing the live shows, like that was so much fun.
I think that's definitely been the best part. And that was my best episode. Definitely 100% the live one. And obviously the Insomnia Gaming as well, which was a bit, that was a challenge. That was fun, but it was a challenge, not because of anything in our control.
Yeah, it's interesting trying to talk about deep line playmakers and rest defense when you've got a zombie apocalypse happening next door. it's tricky. We tried it. We did a good job.
Quite literally.
We got over it. And then the Nottingham Comedy Festival show as well. Fantastic to be surrounded by like our audience, our viewers, our listeners, people from the FM community, and just to be there and hang out as mates, have a drink. It was great. It was really great. And obviously, you know, I'm sure Steve will be back at some point as a guest to come and chat to us and let us know whether he ever did install FM24 or not.
I'm trying to think. This is going to come across pretty sad. Mm-hmm. Other than my birthday, it's literally the last time I've been out, like as a group of friends. Like it's the last time I've been out where we had obviously the meal and we had a few drinks, done the show, but the show didn't feel like work by then, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a few carrying bags up the stairs and plugging things in. And that's when the realization hit is like, oh, wait, they're here for us now. People are here for us. Literally we was on the stage. I think I've knocked over a drink or something. I think that's when the realization hit. Oh, no, Steve warned me about knocking over a drink. And I think that's when it hit me. I was like, oh, wait. Damn, this is going to be we're actually here for a show. Damn.
Yeah, please having a conversation with someone going, this is great, but I've got to go and do a show. That's me. I'm meant to be on the stage now. They just called my name.
Literally.
Oh, bless. But yeah, let's say, Steve, I'm sure we'll be back at some point. And of course, feel free to reach out to Steve and say, you know, say thank you and stuff. But if we come back around to what obviously every show starts with, Aaron, you've touched upon it already. You're now hanging out over in Scandinavia, pal. How's that treating you?
Yeah, we're in Norway with Tromsø. I started this season today and ended the season today. It was like it started out on Twitter, it ended on Twitter. So I've been doing these things where like I'm just playing the game, and sometimes I just think, oh, this is a big game. I might as well record it, and then I can just put it on Twitter. But it also allows other people to see what other people do during these games and what changes they make, and if they get a player sent off. Because so for some odd reason, whenever we got a big game and I put it on Twitter, somebody has to get sent off. And it just makes, because I want to show off this tactic, right? But then you can't show off a tactic with 10 men. You're like, now you're defending, especially against like Real Madrid and Bodo Glimt. It's like, why in these games you decide to get the red card?
But well, I remember a couple of weeks ago, we were saying on the episode going, what do you do when you go down to 10 men?
Or like, yeah,
what
exactly.
You
yeah.
Do when you go down to 10 men?
Exactly. So. Yeah. And this is why you should know the tactic. Obviously, I created the tactic about 4 days ago. So in these moments, I'm still not quite like know what to do in those sort of moments. And it's just like, it was just a hell of defending. But yeah, the season ended. We finished second behind Boulder, which is actually very decent. I think they're predicted to finish fifth, Tromsø. But we finished second behind Bodo Glimt, who they are fierce rivals. Fiercest rivals. Came to our stadium, second last game of the season, got a 3-3 draw. And I thought, oh, that's a decent draw. Until I read at the bottom, and Bodo Glimt are now the champions. I was like, oh.
Oh, no.
It's payback. It's payback for showing off, because, right, earlier in the day, in the morning, I recorded myself going away to Bodo and getting the win. And I was just gloated about it on Twitter. And then at the end of the season, they come to us and win the league in our stadium. So that was like, but we got to pick ourselves back up, because in the next two games, we've got a cup final, which was against a team. I believe they're in the relegation playoffs. So we ended up winning that 4-1. One of our strikers scored 4 goals. He scored a perfect hat trick. And then as you do, you're just about to take him off. I make the sub. And then I go back into the game, and then the highlights is in the highlight for some reason. And then he scores again, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you might as well just stay on, lad. You might as well just stay on and have fun. Have fun. So that's what's happened today. But lastly, the most interesting thing of the day. Mm-hmm. A few episodes ago, I talk about I would never sub my centre back. Today, I subbed both of my centre backs, and one of them was in the first minute.
You did. You tweeted me straight away about that, going, you're not going to believe what I've just done. I was like, what the hell's going on?
So basically what happened, I saved my team selection. So I've got like my preferred 11. So I did that. I set that, but I was just pressing continue space bar. I didn't realize my centre back was injured. So it sort of like replaced him with someone else, but it wasn't with who I would replace him with. And it was a guy who like, his attribute wise is not decent, it's not bad, but he's got like, it's just 11s, 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 12s. Whereas the guy that I wanted got a few 7s and 10s, but then he's got the 16s and jumping reach and the 16th and strength. So I was like, this is definitely the backup. So I went into the game, and it was against Bodo Glimm at their stadium. And I was talking about being brave with the youth players as well, because we're using youth. And it was like the first, as soon as the game kicked off, I was like, wrong centre back. This is a big game. So I was like, yep, swap, boys, swap. And then at half time, the experienced one was feeling anxious or complacent. Mm-hmm. Well, we were 2-1 up. So I was like, yeah, you're off as well, lad. So the centre backs were like, one was 17 and one was 19. And then this is like, I could see the momentum just go to Bodo. It was honestly, if you watch the thing, it was horrible. It was a penalty. They missed the penalty. Oh, my goalkeeper made like 3 fantastic saves. Goal disallowed. It was just like, it was mental. Even in the 90th minute, honestly, Tony, it was like 6 minutes. They had about 4 highlights in the 90th minute. It was horrible, man. We got the win, but it was horrible. And then, like I said, at the end of the season, they got their revenge by beating me and winning the league title, or drawing against me, but winning the league title. Oh, man. That match was just... It's one of those matches that I complain about when I'm the other side. When I'm Bodo, I'm the one to go, man, how have you messed that? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just there thinking, no, this is another highlight. It's another highlight. Oh, my God.
But glad you're in Norway, though. Norway is fun. It's a lot of fun to managing.
It's fun.
If people listening haven't done it, I would heartily recommend it. As you said, the season's done pretty quickly.
That's what I was going about to say. That lastly, it suits me because it's about 30 games, I think. And it goes very quickly. And then we're going to have a long pre-season. And then we're going to have our youth intake as well, which happens in December. So,
one thing I would say, though, if you are managing in Norway, is be aware that your season starts at a different time to the rest of Europe. So, any mid-season momentum you've got is going to be shot to pieces when the summer transfer window opens up in Europe and all of your.
Yeah, I'll just play my game.
Like going for like 2 million quid or 6 million is the most you're ever going to see from someone. It's like, it's crazy.
Playing champagne football with this defensive midfielder, clearly the best player in the team. Like, he's the one. And I saw Lil coming in. But the thing is, I rejected the first offer because I wanted 50% of next sale. I'm adamant on that. I do not care. And then it was like, his max value was 1.4 million and I asked for 1.3. They said, nah. So I was like, fine. I thought he was going to kick off, but he didn't. So I was like, oh, these players seem to like it here then. But then like 6 days later, they came in with that 50% and 1.3. I was like, lad, our finances is in red. You've done the job, man. Thank you, man. We're at that point, joint top of the table. We're playing champagne football. I think the youth have got it from here. He left, draw, lost.
tell you what, lad, come back in 3 seasons and then French lots don't appreciate you.
I didn't try. What I should have tried is the loan back. I should have tried that. Now,
that does work. That's pretty handy there,
I've only thought about that now, to be honest. I didn't just now. But it was just draw, loss. It was just funny.
I think that's the thing. I think it's when you sell a player that you know has to go.
Yeah.
You do think, he might come back in a couple of years, but he's not been played. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they might
not actually play him. So
it's that thing that you talked about earlier in your stream. Sorry, yesterday, and you talked about plug and play tactics and like how you have a tactic. It might not be working for you, but it could be working for someone else because they've just got that one player that connects it. And he was that guy that connected it. And then now it's just like we don't look like the same team. We're not fizzing it about.
Oh, mate, it's strange, just, isn't it? One piece of the puzzle just changes the whole thing, like, completely. I mean, how long are we in now? 12 minutes into the show. I feel like I can get it off my chest now, Aaron, right? Strap yourselves in, everybody. We're going to go. Aaron's been talking about how everything's been lovely in Norway and painting this beautiful picture of champagne football, you know, high taxation and public services, right? Now, here I am. I'm going to talk to you about building a nation in Greece and how to raise your heart rate to a condition that might make you feel a little bit unwell. And what we did, right? We talked in the last episode, didn't we, about how I went through a bad run of form, then I did TJ Tactics, which you watched and you were like, you know what, you've made the right calls in these things. And we looked great for half a dozen games, got ourselves towards that split of the league, which is the championship group, which means we only play the top six sides.
Yeah.
And at that point, we got ourselves into the position where we got into the six, because we were seventh at that point. And I was like, it looks like we might miss out here. but we'd beaten AEK. We got to the Greek Cup final. We'd beaten Braga to get into the Euro Conference League semi-final against PAOK Salonika.
Yes,
so another Greek side. So we're building that nation. There's two teams in Europe. We won the first leg in the Conference League semi-final. We won 2-1. Hard-earned victory. Very hard-earned victory. Professional performance. We got a penalty in the 87th minute or something to make it like 2-1. I was like, hey, you know what? We've done a good job here because we've come from behind to get this win. Like, the league form, I must say, since that cut-off was abysmal. Like, it was abysmal. It was basically like we built ourselves up to get into that group, and then we all went, job done, everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like that. I got this message halfway through the season where it's like, yeah, the board are happy. We've reached the target of finishing in the top half. And it just felt like the players like, right, yeah, cheers. Because it's like weird as well, because you mentioned the cup run. We had that back-to-back thing where we played one team in the league and one team in the cup. Losing against them in the league, smoked them in the cup. It's like, lads, what's going on? It's the same team.
Three games in a row against AEK. Like, you know, smashed, you know, hammered in the league, then we beat them in the cup. So we've got PAOK Salonika in the Euro Conference League semi-finals. We've got Panathinaikos in the Greek Cup final. Okay. So that's pretty good. Panathinaikos are on a charge in the Euro Cup. No. Yeah, they're in the Euro Cup as well. Because it's us, PAOK, and Panathinaikos, and Austria Vienna, Rapid Vienna, sorry, in the final four. So there's three big teams, right? And Vienna. So we're like, right, you know, something's gonna happen here. Betis and Stuttgart. It was Panathinaikos were in the Euro against that. And thinking, right, okay, we just got to get through this game against PAOK. That's all we've got to do, get through the game, right? The league form has been atrocious. We've lost most of the games. Like, we've switched off. And we get to three games to go, right? It comes down, the league form is that bad. We have one game to finish fifth. And as you know, if we finish fifth, you finish in the Euros. If you finish sixth, you get nothing. Final game of the season is against the team who were in fifth at the time, past Janina. Okay,
we're
level on points. We're ahead on goal difference, but it's head to heads. And because we lost to them at the start of that split, we're sat behind them. Okay. So the final three games look like this: Euro Conference semi final, second leg against PAOK Salonika, 2-1. We get a goalkeeper injury before a ball's been kicked. Thinking, right, our first choice goalkeeper is out for 8 weeks. So his season's done. We're thinking, right, that's fine. We'll play our backup goalkeeper. This is going to be fine. This is why we have a backup goalkeeper for these very, very situations. He is out for 3 weeks. We go into the Euro second leg, the Conference League second leg, with a goalkeeper who's 18 years old from our development centre, because you can't register anybody else in Europe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'd sold our Greek backup goalkeeper in January because Panathinaikos wanted him. And I didn't want to sell him, but he was like, oh, I want to go and play football. And I'm like, well, you've sat on the bench for 2 years. Fine. Okay. We would have had him. It would have been a different story. The 18-year-old comes in. He tries his best. Story was there for him to be the hero. But when he's picked the ball out of his net three times, we've lost 3-0.
Oh.
We're not making our way to the Euro Conference League final. Okay, so fine. Conference League doesn't happen. Pick yourselves up, lads. Go again. Final league game of the season. Pass Janina. We have to win. We have to win. 18-year-old goalkeeper. We've trusted you in Europe. Into the league. Oh, sorry. No, hang on. Just you can't play in the league because the league registration rules closed a while ago. So what you have to do now is you have to sit this game out.
Oh, and no, man. Put
a graded out goalkeeper with handling of 7.
I was there. Match. I was there.
So he goes in, not just him, but his grayed out goalkeeper mate who sits on the bench as the backup because we need a backup goalkeeper for when he inevitably makes a mistake. So we go in there, we draw 1-1, right? We throw everything at pass. We go goal down as well. I'm like, oh no, not this way. We go goal down, then we pull it back to 1-1. We throw everything. I think at one point we ended up with a formation that was 3-2-5. And we were creating some amazing football, but it just wasn't going in. Like the back end of the season was all about us creating and not finishing. Right? Really wasteful with our final third football. So we finished 6th, missed out on Europe. Okay. For the first time in, I think, 5 years now, 3 years, 3 or 5 years, right? So fine. We'll take the hit, right? Maybe we'll rebuild next year and we'll attack the cup. There's maybe too many games for us, right? But we've got our moment to go and hopefully lift a trophy. The first trophy that I'm going to count as a save because the second division trophy doesn't really count. And it's the Greek Cup final against Panathinaikos. And we go into the match with a grayed out goalkeeper whose only previous match was against Pass. And within 25 minutes, we are 2 goals down. And I'm like, this is going to be a long day. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be long. 2-0 down. And we just sort of talk through a stream going, well, you know what? We've tried. Had someone said we'd have been in the semi-finals of Europe, the final of a cup, in with a shout of finishing, we'd have taken that at the start of the season. And we get a penalty. And JK tucks it away. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, it's a little more than a consolation. Maybe we need to take Minas off, who's currently playing at right wing because, of course, Kaki's injured, so we can't play him either. We've got another one of our centre-backs is suspended. It's literally just like a patchwork squad. Knackered as well. And I'm like, right, let's take Minas off. Let's switch things around a bit. And similar to yourself, like the highlight is just about to load up as you've finished making the change. I've clicked what I need to do. Then the highlight plays, the ball comes to Minas on the end of the area. He drops the shoulder, pings it in the top corner. I'm like, oh, okay, you're staying on right now. It's 2-2 and there's 15 minutes left.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, are we going to do it? Are we going to come from behind and win the cup in the most glorious manner? No, of course not. Because this is me and this is Football Manager. So
oh, with
5 minutes to go, Panathinaikos go down the other end. We are pushing forward because we have been pushing forward to get to 2-2. We're momentum's with us. We're still a little bit too far forward and we hit on the break and it's 3-2 to Panathinaikos. They win the cup. We go home a little bit sad. I thought that was the end of the stream, but obviously you were in the stream, so you know what happens next.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, that's a sad end to the season. And I was sort of like licking my wounds a little bit. But because we're the under 21 Greece manager as well, we had the under 21 tournament to play out that summer. So I was like, right, come on then, chat. Let's just keep this going. We'll sort of talk through it. And we were in a group with the Netherlands, England, and Scotland. And we drew the Netherlands first match. We beat England 2-0 in the second match. And I was like, hey, we're coasting here. We're sat top of the group, going our final game against Scotland. We go 1-0 up. And I'm like, I think we've done it, everyone. But I feel bad because if Scotland get a point, they can qualify as well. So I almost talked myself into letting Scotland equalise. And I didn't make any changes at all. But Scotland equalised. And I was cheering away going, get it. I think Scotland are going through as well. And then Scotland scored three more goals, 1-4-1, and knocked us out. And I'm just watching it going, what the hell's happening?
Nah, the Football Manager's just too funny. The way it plans out, man, it's just too funny. It is honestly just too funny, man.
Mate, it was just like the absolute roller coaster.
Yeah.
Emotion that led me to the following stream going, right, everyone, we're doing Moneyball. And I did a stream with spreadsheets and trying to work out data. I was like, I think I've lost it.
That's what the same does to you, man. That's what the same does to you. It's the fact that it lets you believe, man. It's the fact it lets you believe that we've gone like with Tromso, it was like 22, 23 games. It's like you're letting us believe. And then it just goes like that. Just like that. Two injuries in the back and then one at the front, and then everything just was crumbling, man.
Mate, it was little things like I was sort of waking up the next morning going, I think I had two ball-winning midfielders. I reckon that was the problem. Like, why the next day am I still trying to break this down and analyse it and go, right, I'm going to get on stream and talk about this. And
yeah,
and I think I have worked out what the problem was, and I think that's why I was like saying, right, so I need to recruit in a specific way. And the reason I have to recruit in a specific way is because we've built the nation up. We're now sixth in the coefficients. We've now got three Champions League spots in Greece. Ooh. Okay? Which means I am about to fail financial fair play for the Champions League. The only season I've spent money, right, has come back to bite me in the backside. And it was two seasons previously. And we're going to fail FFP by about 15 million quid, possibly, which in real terms is a Jonah Kuziazare. So we might have to sell him.
Oh, man. He's going to score the goals then.
Yeah, he's out of contract though at the end of the season, and he's got a £10 million buyout clause, and he's on 50 grand. And the next player, I think, is Kaki's on 28.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, he needs to go. But the only club that wants him, AEK Athens.
Out of all the clubs, only them.
Yeah, the Saudi Arabian clubs. I managed to put them off the year before. So in for him, but
oh, that was mental.
So I was like, well, maybe you should leave. And then because I was like, don't like the cut of your jib anymore. So he's falling out with me now. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Sometimes when your best player does leave, though, that's when things really do start to click. So,
oh, 100%. And like, that's why the spreadsheets were out. Because I was like, right, what we need to do is we need to get a player who can do what Kuziazara could do for a heck of a lot cheaper, because his wages need to cover four players. <Point down. laughs> And we did it. We brought in some bargains, I think, or some players that would have looked to be underappreciated. And it was a really interesting way of doing it. Like, we had the Muster Man episode on Patreon the other week, so go and check that out. And he's going to come onto the show to talk through what I didn't do properly in the future. It's interesting. It's really interesting.
Football Manager plays with us too much, man.
Yes, it does.
We play it too much.
I don't know. Maybe it's a bit of that. I think we see more than maybe the average players do, because, we probably do consume a little bit more time. But
I don't know. It's just the stories now. It's just endless, though, isn't it? Yeah, the story is just each season is just endless, man. It's just, man.
I think, and this goes back to a point that I think we've made historically many, many times. I think because we don't control any of it, that's where the frustration comes in. Like, if you can see a goal, you can see it coming. It's not like on other playable video games like FIFA or whatever, where if you don't stop the tackle, you know that's on you.
Whereas
with Football Manager, you see the player just do the thing. You're like, why has he been programmed to do that? Like, why did the pixels do what the pixels did?
Oh, man. Amazing, man.
So so that's been fun. So we'll obviously do a bit more update with Greece next week. And because it's season 10, Aaron, what I've decided to do is I'm going to start uploading those 10 season save data files into
our Patreon.
There you go. So if you are interested in signing up for Patreon, you can do so from as little as £3 a month. You get exclusive bonus content, don't you, Aaron?
Oh, yes, you do.
You get a weekly episode every single Monday. There's about, I think we worked out, there's about 30 hours at least worth of additional bonus content over on Patreon. And there's save files in there as well. Of course, my 10 individual seasons of Build a Nation with us, so you can pick this up at any point and explore. Maybe you want to go and do some data mining yourself. You can do that. Aaron popped a behind-the-scenes video of his Everton rebuild in there on Patreon as well, which is amazing, by the way. I really love that video. So go and check that out as well. We should say a massive thank you to Marcus, Ross Kinder, Paul Custis, and Bizarra Brigade, who came and joined the squad over the last couple of weeks. So appreciate you all. Your support is absolutely appreciated. And remember, of course, if you can't afford to support us via Patreon, there is always a free weekly public episode here on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Just obviously make sure you drop a follow, a like, a subscribe, and leave a comment, all sorts of things. But if you want to support us on Patreon, Aaron, where do they go?
They go to patreon.com, the FM Show Pod. That's patreon.com/ the FM Show Pod. I was just going to say as well, talking about those recordings, do let us, or let me know, I was going to say, because I do want to do something similar with like the community challenge. So I'm probably just going to play like a year with a team in Portugal, but it'll be a similar video where I'm recording and it might be a tactic I'm working on, or I might just build a tactic from the whatever we see on the screen and then just play a few games there. And then I'll just update it on Twitter, on the Patreon. But do let me know if you do want to see it, because obviously I don't want to be giving people just Patreon notifications of content that they do not want to see. So do let me know.
It's time to say hello to the newest sponsor of the FM Show. Everybody, say hello to Full Time Prints. Full Time Prints offer a variety of prints to give football fans the chance to remember their favourite football moments forever. They currently offer a range of goals, team sheets, commentary, and league tables. Prints are available in A4 through to A1 and can be bought with or without a frame. It makes the perfect gift for occasions such as Christmas, birthdays, Father's Day, Mother's Day, just because presents. Like, seriously, this is the perfect gift for every football fan. You want to go on the website, browse what they've got. They've got so many things to choose from, whether it's teams, European teams, international teams, moments that happen. And if you can't find something you like, you can even do a custom request. You can create anything you've seen yourself. Maybe you've seen a goal you want to relive. You can have that. Maybe you want to relive the first match you ever attended. Or maybe, if you're a Football Manager fan, you might want to do a custom one just designed for Football Manager that immortalizes your save forever. You can have a print done that has all your trophies, the entirety of the save, the key moments. Maybe you want to relive the Champions League final and have your team sheet and everything on there. You can do that with Full Time Prints. I'm thinking about getting myself one, and I'm going to put it right behind my head in my office just behind here. And as a little sweetener for you, we've got a little bit of discount to help you out here. So use the code THEFMSHOW. We'll get you 10% off your entire order. Go to fulltimeprints.com. Use the discount code THEFMSHOW. That's 10% off your entire order. And there's free shipping on orders over 50 quid. So go get yourself a full-time print. Immortalize that Football Manager save. Let us know what you've got. Visit fulltimeprints.com. Use the discount code THEFMSHOW. Get yourself 10% off. And remember, free shipping on orders over 50 quid. So as Aaron was just touching upon there, in our last episode, which if you haven't listened or watched, go back and have a watch with the wonderful FM Llama. We talked about youth-only saves, which kind of got our creative juices flowing a little bit. Yeah. Aaron, we had a wonderful comment from NUFC Pro 90 on YouTube that just says, "I bloody love Llama," which I think is echoed across the land.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they call him a llama, but we say he's a goat. Do you know what I mean? That's pretty fair. And it's just great. Like, it was a lovely conversation to have with Llama. And in that, something got announced, and you've already touched upon it. We talked about the community challenge. And people have been asking for this for a while, Aaron, and we've been a little bit arm's length with it, haven't we? But we relented.
I forgot about that. You see, this sometimes I get wrapped up in the moment. So obviously, because it was announced already, I just ran off with it in the Patreon little segment there. But yeah, we do have the Portugal. See, I can't wait for this. I'm interested and intrigued to see people's results with this Portugal one. I'm really interested. I want to see what teams people pick as well, because it can pick from three different teams.
That's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing. So let's do a quick recap then, right? If you didn't listen to last week's show, basically what we've got, right? The community challenge is going to be over, we're saying 3 to 5 seasons, right? The reason we're saying 3 to 5 seasons is we're thinking that the challenge should go to about maybe June, when something else in football happens around about the time of June. Work that out for yourselves. I'm sure you've already worked out what we're doing in June as the challenge. But let's get a little end of season challenge done. Something that's a bit different, something that's a bit fun, something that's quite balanced as well, I think, to be honest. We want it to be, we don't just want it to be a league that everyone's done lots of, but it also needs to be familiar enough that it's not alien and it doesn't put people off. So Portugal was the nation that we picked, and we didn't want to be really restrictive in who you managed, because that can obviously sometimes be a bit of a put off for people as well. But I'm not managing that team. I support their rivals, or, oh God, you know, I don't like the way that's set up. So we thought, how about we do Portugal and you can pick, we thought, any of the top three. So Porto, Benfica, or Sporting Club. The reason we picked those was because they are probably the ones most likely to get some of that success that people talk about, Aaron.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly that. So obviously, Porto, Benfica, Sporting, all good teams, all in Europe as well, I believe, before I should go out and put that there. But also, you don't just have to be those three teams if you don't want. Mm-hmm. Of course, the community challenge is designed to be fun, so that's why we picked those three teams. We don't want to give you a team that's almost relegated and then everyone has to be that sort of team, and we've got to try and do something in 3 to 5 years. We're actually picking this team, so based off our previous episode, you can take a save idea from it, hints and tips idea, and you can apply it into the save as well. So for an example, Lama spoke about youth only save in the last episode. And then you've got three good teams here, all got brilliant new facilities. And again, it's what you can do. Maybe set yourself a challenge, not sign anyone within those 5 years and hope someone comes through the Benfica youth system. It's all up to you. It's all up to you.
Yeah, or get the maps out and try and sign players from the local area, Aaron. You could do that as well, couldn't you? But, you know, as Aaron says, you're not restricted to those three sides, right? The reason we picked Porto, Benfica and Sporting, we figured they're the easiest, quote unquote, easiest ones to start off with, right? And they've got a bit of a story. And, you know, Porto, it's 20 years this year since they won the Champions League. And there was a certain special manager helped them do that on a very special team.
He's a special one.
So can you basically recreate that? Can you become the champions of Europe with Porto again? Benfica have won the European Cup twice, but they've not won it for a while as they were cursed by their former manager. So can you break the Bella Gutman curse, the man who said that that club will never win the Champions League for the next 100 years? So, I mean, you know what? That team couldn't win a Champions League with Saviola and Cardozo up front. So let's see what you can do, right? Okay? I'm not saying there's pressure, but that is pressure right there. Di Maria popping the balls in on the wing as well. And they didn't win something. Come off it. Or what about Sporting then, Aaron? Maybe, you know, they've not won the European honours that Porto and Benfica have won, but they are humbly in the ranks of the 19 titles. Is humbly. Humbled, you know what I mean? Like 19 titles, 17 cups. And they've got one of the most exciting managers in current football in Aberdeen. Yeah. And Gokeresh's canny class.
I was just going to say, they've, out of the three, they've probably got my favourite team. Obviously, you got Diamande as well. Marcus Edwards, great shout. Pedro Gonçalves. Mm-hmm. Nuno Santos, the left wing back, that's just got the absolute techers. So I done a Ruben Amorim tactic. And I done a similar thing again where I recorded a game and I put it on Twitter and Nuno Santos just got the most dirtiest goal. So they're going to be a fun team. The most fun team, I think. Porto's team are probably the one I would make pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll be having fun making them a difficult. Obviously, I just realized something. I watched them against Arsenal. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. I watched them against Arsenal. They were very, very good out of possession. And again, it's something that you might want to try and apply in FM because you kind of got some leeway to do it, right? Because you're kind of expected to win these games anyway. So maybe you've got another opportunity to try these things, a formation that you haven't tried out before, which might be a 4-4-2 because I'm scared of that in FM.
You are terrified of that, aren't you?
Yeah, just two midfielders. Oh, yikes.
So that's the thing. So you can do that. So you can do that. You can do Porto, you can do Benfica, you can do Sporting, right? That's what we are laying down as, hey, probably the easiest way to do this thing. If you don't want to do those three clubs, as we say, you can make it harder. You can go and pick clubs from little step down in the league, like Braga, Boavista. Yeah. You can step down again. Maritimo, like you can step down again, like Rio Ave. Like that's really low down, isn't it? Like you're going.
No. I had them in FM23 as well. Yeah. This is why I can vouch that Portuguese league is a very fun league. So there's two other teams that I did pick out, which was Casapia, who have a very decent squad. Also got very decent youth facilities. Again, leaning towards that youth only save, sort of. They've also got one of my favourite left-backs on Football Manager, Leonardo Lello. Mm-hmm. Very cheap, so make sure you give him a new contract straight away. But there's also Vitória, I believe the team's name is. Yeah, Vitória. They're also another very decent team as well. They've got a player up front called Andre Silva, very good. Thomas Handel, I've had him for Manager before as well. Centre midfielder. They've got a centre back with 17 jumping reach. Can't head it though, but
I mean, as long as he's up in the air, like, that's fine. I'm just using like a broom when you're trying to get something out of a tree. I'm just doing that.
His value makes me laugh as well. He's valued from 10k. to 2.6 million. So it's gone from £10,000 to 2.6 million. Oh my God.
I love that as well. And when you ask the agent, how much is he worth? He was like, I could be anything, mate.
Could be anything. Yeah. Throwing the offer. Yeah.
Depends on the day, lad. You know what I mean? Like, but I think that's interesting. And the more I think about this, the more I'm starting to like the idea that we've picked with Portugal, because my thinking is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, because you've done Portugal. I haven't managed in Portugal for a long time. Maybe Championship Manager time would have been when I was last in Portugal. Or maybe the back end. No, maybe FM9 or something. Like, it might have been that Benfica, Cardozo, Sabayola thing. I might have done that. That might have been my last little toe dip into Portugal. So we are talking a while. But from what I remember, it's not that, quote-unquote, that difficult to break into that top three from one of the smaller clubs. It's not like taking Luton and getting them into the Champions League in season one. Like, Luton to the title in 5 years? Unlikely.
Yeah.
Unlikely.
Because think about it. Because the Premier League is going to be more difficult to break in, right, that top six, sort of, because there's so many, or the top four, I should say, because there's so many clubs. There's already around 6-7 top teams
that are trying to get the top four.
Before you're even thinking about, maybe Aston Villa is not a good club to use now because of what they're doing at the moment. But let's just say if you're a mid-table side, you're sort of looking up and that, that's very difficult to break because if those four teams aren't getting these other three can sort of thing. But whereas in Portugal, it's only really Benfica, Porto, Sporting, and someone's always going to have an off-season. Mm-hmm. There's not three teams that are going to be absolutely running away with it. So there's always going to be that opportunity. It's likely going to be you and somebody else though.
Can I just put half a thought that I've just had in my head, right?
What's that?
With the latest data update, is it possible that, say, for example, say you pick for ease Porto or Benfica, is it possible that maybe at the end of season one, Sporting's manager leaves for one of the high-profile positions that have become available at the end of season one?
Oh, my days.
If you're one of the lower teams, do you have a chance of getting into that next bit?
That's what I was, imagine that.
That Amorim might go to... Because there's a couple of jobs that come available at the end of season one in real-life football. If you're
starting the community challenge at Casapia, ended it at Porto.
Do you know what? What a story that is, though. What a story that you end up jumping up because you've done a cracking first season. You then get like sort of airlifted in.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, the stories you can have tell you, here.
Have you ever done that before? Have you ever been at a club, you've got your project, and then you've just seen that inbox this year, this club wants you, and she's like, oh, man, it's the right thing is to move, and you just move. Mm-hmm. Have you done that before?
Yeah, I've done that before. But I've also dug my heels in, and I know this makes sense, but I'm here for the long sad haul.
Oh yeah. Sometimes I've got that challenge, I've set it, I'm adamant, so I'm going for it. None of that leaving business. But there's sometimes, like, even this save, I've set it up. I'm like, yeah, Tromso, blah 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 blah. Mm. But then back of my mind is like, actually, I'm going to leave all of these leagues playable. Just in case, you know. But yeah, I'm hoping, because my save is similar to yours in a way. It's more of a, like, I am trying to build a nation, which can happen a bit more naturally, but also sort of youth intake as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of mixing things in. It's not youth only. I can buy players, but they're going to be young players anyway. So it's a lot of about development, I should say.
What I worked out during my save last week was in my moment of sadness with, like, realizing that I'd missed out on Europe and I'd lost the cup. When I saw that the coefficients had risen to sixth and we got these extra Champions League spot, I was like, you know what? I can build a nation without actually winning anything.
That
was like a massive moment of clarity. I was like, this is the perfect way for me to do it. I can absolutely be second best.
The feeder club. Yeah, just the feeder. Just take these youngsters and be like, yeah, here you go, Olympiacos. Here you go, Panathinaikos. Here you go.
I'm just being the spotter. Just like, if AK can't do the rep, I'll jump in. But if not, like, let them go and do it.
I've seen you've got a new daddy as well. So you're going to be taking those players from Dortmund and be like,
oh, yeah, hey, that was interesting.
Look at this lad.
That was interesting. So because of the fact that we were looking to fail financial fair play, it was a moment of starting to gamify it. Because I try to not gamify the save. But I was like, we need to bring money in. So I was like, right, I'm in the door of the chairman going, right, how's about we get one of those affiliate clubs where they give us loads of money? And he's like, no, we don't need that. And I'm like, but we need the money. Like, come on, you know, you need this. And he's like, right, you make a good argument. I'll go off and I'll see who we can drum up business from. And obviously in my head, I'm like, oh God, it's going to end up being Newcastle, isn't it? And I'm going to have that ethical dilemma and I'm not going to take the money. I'm just going to end up shooting myself in the foot. And we roll a couple of days on. And Newcastle is one of the clubs that have come forward. They offered the most money, obviously. But there was Dortmund. And I was like, ooh, hello. And then there was Liverpool. And of clubs, Dortmund and Liverpool, both said, we can have some youngsters for no money and we will essentially take your players for money. And I was like, that's pretty good. That makes sense. But Dortmund just fit right. And they paid a tiny bit more than Liverpool as well. Tiny bit more. And they had more players available for loan straight away. So I was like, right, let's go Dortmund. Not as many players as Valencia offered us, by the way, which was half of the team.
I saw the list. Is it because they've got... Is it because they've got three different... So they've got the Villarreal, but then is it because they've got the BC and then on the 19th?
But like, poor Villarreal, like, just they wanted a text back and I just left them on red. I was just like,
people in the comments they're still on the phone.
They should text back any minute now.
It's probably want to know what's happening.
Well, that's interesting. They've got a link up with Dortmund as well. That's really cool. Hello, this will look brilliant for the promotional material.
Oh man, yeah. Poor Villarreal had their social posts ready and everything. It's all in the drafts, Tony. It's all in the drafts.
I know, I felt bad. Like, I was going to get dressed up as Yellow Submarine. It was going to be awesome. They were doing gifts. It was going to be brilliant. But I ruined it, didn't I? I ghosted them.
I was thinking about sort of FM25 wish list, but not like major things, just little things that. Because I saw, is it Dan Gere, yeah, I think, from Viva Untouched, and talk about directors of football and how they can be, because someone asked what's the difference between a technical director and a director of football in Football Manager. Like, you can't really, like, what's the purpose of having both? It's just an expense at this point. Yeah. And then obviously Dan explained the difference, but what could be added is that maybe you're trying to approach, so obviously your club's got a board, it's got a culture, right? So like, if you're going to be Atletico, it's going to be that play direct football. But then you might have seen this one, the kid that's just tiny and he's skillful, he's tiny and yeah, the next hot thing. And then you go and put this 60 million offer and your director of football is just like, nah, he does not fit the club's, the model. If that sort of thing could be implemented in the game, because I was just thinking about that as well with just many things, that like, there could be something coming in, even when it comes to feeder club. Like, I do think Liverpool, Dortmund, Newcastle, I think that they're all just three very different clubs.
Massively different clubs, yeah.
Of course, you should maybe have the freedom of you being, that is your save, it's your choice. But at the same time, maybe because you've picked the club is looking to go, maybe it shouldn't be so like very structured and disciplined, but there's certain things like a feeder club. Mm. It's still giving you an option, but it's giving you an option of these clubs because this is what fits the club as well. Like Liverpool's culture, it sort of matches ours. Like short football, quick tempo, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if someone else's structure is long ball and you're trying to loan players from them, like it doesn't really match. Mm. So maybe like someone can step in and be like, this is not going to work for this is not going to work for us, yeah, mate. Pick someone else.
That makes complete sense. And even then, you could have the board could just override it so that it's like, right, no, yeah. The technical director is in charge of all of this. Like that. And you know, this is, I know it's one of the most fun parts of the game is buying players, but to have a sporting director or a technical director go, these are the players that we're going for, right?
Yeah.
They're going to turn up. You're going to manage them. You're the football manager or head coach. Like,
yeah,
you know, could you play? Is there a way of doing head coach mode successfully in Football Manager? Yeah. I don't know if there really is, because I don't think that the director of football or the head of youth development would look in terms of that statistical approach.
It's not quite implemented as much.
To be your own technical director and put your own on the transfer, if that makes sense.
Exactly, yeah. And I guess like the spin is like that is the sole purpose of having a director of football, right?
Mm.
So I don't think people, like, there shouldn't be a complaint from people, oh, they cancelled my director of football cancelled. It's like, you should have had a director of football sort of thing. Yeah. Obviously, I guess director of football have maybe his little tendencies as well, could they have a profile page, but I think that could be a cool way of getting these backroom staff to have more of an input in your game, more of an effective input as well. I hired you for this reason because you like football played in this way, and now you're telling me, look, we're not buying this guy because he does not fit our approach. Yeah. I think that's a good addition.
I think it's great, and I think the argument has always been, I'm going to use a really extreme argument here. The argument has always been that SI will not do stadium upgrades and like you design your stadium because that's not the manager's job. Yeah?
Yeah.
What's becoming increasingly likely now is that transfers are not the manager's job.
Like, exactly.
Transfers are now the club's job. It's now the sport director's job. It's now the head of recruitment's job. So technically, and I know it's it's not going to happen, but SI could take transfers away from us completely because there's so many things
that they could just take away from us as well. But yeah, I mean, people always complain about something, won't they? Or they'll try and make like a silly comparison in an argument that just there shouldn't really be a debate about.
But I think it's also as well, it's interesting in the time and recording that these head of recruitments are going for massive money now. Like, clubs are spending a lot on recruitment.
Yeah, and who's Man United? What's Man United trying to get as well? What's that role?
United are trying to get...
Is it a director of football?
Yeah, it's Wilcox from Southampton. And even that, Dan Ashworth from Newcastle. So
that's becoming news as like a normal transfer. Like people are reporting on it like it's a transfer. So these things are becoming sort of big. Obviously, you don't want Football Manager to replicate football to a T, obviously, because it has to still have that game element, that fun element about it. But again, I still, to me, that's fun anyway. To me, it's fun to have a director of football. Obviously, the issue would be that you start, sometimes you're going to start with a director of football. So that might obviously be an issue. But I do think there is a cool way of implementing that sort of stuff in the game.
But I think if you see journey person careers, or you see like changes of ownership at a club, you see these changes come in real life. And, you know, the manager might well have had a great relationship with the chairperson before and had a really, really lovely time. But there's a takeover, new person's in charge, they've got their way of doing business. All of a sudden, they bring in their backroom staff, their advisors. And they're sort of going, right, well, you know, we want to do it this way. We want to do a, you know, we want to basically don't lose money. We want to make money. We want to be sustainable. So therefore, this is how we're going to do it. It's, we're going to run it like a business. And
I guess
the current manager then got to go, well, I was given leeway on transfers here. I'm not being told it was signed. And at that point, it creates another dynamic in the game that creates the narrative to go, right, do you suck it up because you like the job? Or do you go, you know what? No, this is not what I signed up for. And you walk, like,
There
just needs to be no, the jeopardy element isn't there, or the change of dynamics not there.
That's another thing. Is there dynamic club culture involved? I don't know if it's dynamic.
Potentially.
I can't remember.
I think it's meant to be, isn't it? It is meant to be. Like, it can change over time. Like, if you, they're not going to be, the fans aren't going to be locked down on using set pieces if you're clearly not going to use them, or you're becoming more successful in other areas. They'll be, like, if you sort of want to be more free-flowing and entertaining, fans aren't going to be going, but we'd rather we were defensively solid. They're going to be like, we've won 10 cups.
Yeah.
This is fine, you know.
I do think Full Manager got the balance with that, though, right? Like, with the club culture, like, if you don't achieve it, it's not like it just ruins your saving and they start complaining and everyone's coming to sort of thing and you get fired or, like, you know what I mean? I think it's when they introduced it, it was always a nice introduction to the game as well.
Well, again,
I'm hoping they can do that sort of stuff for the staff as well, like we just mentioned.
Yeah. Again, it's another replication of real life. God, listen, it's me talking about real life footballers, if I know what I'm talking about. But, like, I mean, look, David Moyes at West Ham. I was talking to a mate of mine's a West Ham fan, and I was saying, it says, you're having a decent enough season, aren't you? You've won a European Cup last year. Like, why are you still wanting David Moyes out? And he's like, oh, football's boring. Like, we're in the top half of the table. With all due respect, you know, you're not going to be challenging for the top four because, as we've said before, there's a queue of teams trying to get in that top four. You know, you've just won a cup the previous season. You're constantly buying strikers and never playing them and then sell them on. Like, so is it just coming down to entertainment value?
Yeah.
All right, get rid of getting a new manager in. Like, okay, what do fans want these days?
Exactly that. Yeah, that would be amazing, man.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm just imagining it in the game now. I am just imagining it.
but it makes sense. But it makes sense that you always see as well. Whenever there's a vacancy comes up, like, again, we'll just pull a name out of the air just because he's like, if you say Sam Allardyce, for example, people already have an image in their head of, oh, Sam Allardyce is this. No, he's not. But that's the impression that they've got. So they therefore go, well, we don't want it because then they'll play a certain way. Southgate is getting a reputation for being this kind of manager, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes that manager is just working with what they have in front of them. Like, they're maybe not that kind of manager, but the players they've got mean they have to play a certain way, or the pressure they're under from someone else is why they're playing a certain way. We don't know.
Yeah. That's a bit... Man, just so excited about FM25. I'm just sitting here just thinking about FM25. That's what's in my head right now.
FM28, that's what I want. I want to see that one.
How old am I now? What year are we in? 4 more years. FM28.
We'll still be doing this as well.
I was thinking, in my head, I don't know why that just sounded like so far away. But that's still local, yeah, man. That's still local time. I'll be about.
So if we
still trying to crack the game,
scan it back then, because in that 4 years you'd still be playing FM Community Challenges, right? let's look at this then. Okay, so let's dial it back. So Porto, Benfica, Sporting. Can you give us a little bit of a hint or tip on any of those teams? Have you used any of those ones before? Obviously, you've mentioned you've been making videos about Sporting, which, of course, we'll have a link in the description below if anybody wants a little tactical advice for starting their save. Yeah, anything you've seen? Because those three sides play very differently. You mentioned about Porto being quite pragmatic and well-disciplined, and I've got in my head, I've got Benfica being a bit like silky, and then I've got Sporting just doing like absolute business.
They are all three very different teams, use three different shapes as well. So with that's the thing with Football Manager as well. In Football Manager, not necessarily down to Football Manager, but in the game, obviously the squads are designed, or the squads of real life squads. So what the manager's played in real life, you tend to, unless you've got already a tactic that you're just going to force the team to play, but a lot of the times if you're trying to create a tactic with what you got in the game, a lot of the times you are just going to use the formation that they're doing in real life. Mm-hmm. With Sporting, if you look at the squad, I mean, there's about 25 centre-backs here. So you're kind of like forced to play a back three. A 3-4-3, in my opinion, so that's three centre-backs, two DMs, two wing-backs, and then you've got the choice to either use two wingers or two attacking midfielders. It depends how narrow you want your attack. Mm-hmm. And then the one man up front, like Victor Gyokeres up front. Oh, he's amazing. So that's the formation that I would go with. With the team tactical style, I would say more vertical tiki-taka, looking to try and play through the middle. It doesn't have to be fast. It could be slow tempo. You've got the players for that. In midfield, Morten Højlund and Morita. I'm not going to attempt the first name. Morita. They both can win the ball back for you. They're both agile as well. They can move up and down the pitch. They're both aggressive to win the ball back, but they're also very good on the ball in possession. I mentioned Nuno Santos before, which is an absolute amazing fullback. So Sporting, for me, are the one to go to. For Porto, I will be looking more at a 4-2-4. I would say they use more of a 4-4-2, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But the squad, as it's got Constancao, Ivan Jame, you get him? I don't even know. My pronunciation on some of these players' names are awful.
I'm leaving it to you, mate, because otherwise I'm going to butcher it as well. So,
and you've got Gallardo as well. You've got Gallardo, probably the best winger, in the league. Mm-hmm. So you've got these guys up, but they're very attacking. So I would use more so of a 4-2-4. And then you've got Alan Varela as well, Marko Grujic, who can play in defensive midfield. You haven't really got a centre midfield or attack midfielder there. So you're sort of forced to play with a back four and then defensive midfielders, wingers and strikers, because you've got good strikers as well. Tony Martinez can score you goals in this league, Mehdi Taremi, and of course Ivan Nilsson. You probably don't want any of them on the bench in this league. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna be forced to play with two strikers here, I think, with Porto. And with its style of play, I would say gegenpress. They're all fairly aggressive, hard working. That is what Constancao wants. You don't have to play a high press. You can drop it down to mid block. You can choose what you want, but I think to get the best out of these players and their attributes, it would be to be fairly aggressive off the ball to fully utilize what's there at the squad. Now with Benfica, I do find the squad is a little bit more fluid in what you can do here. You can attempt to back three. You might want to sign an additional one just for backup, but you've got Morato, Antonio Silva and Otamendi. You can absolutely play a back three here, or you can play a back four and have one on the bench for backup. You got a pair of attacking fullbacks, so they're likely going to get up the field. In midfield, you got Florentino Luis. This guy's been very interesting for me in Football Manager throughout the years. He's supposed to be a wonder kid. He should have been. It's harsh to say a better player, considering I'm behind a computer and this guy's a professional footballer.
Well, he hasn't got a podcast, Aaron. So,
but I guess you can kind of see where I'm going with that one there. But he's still very good in the game, which is what I like as well. He's tackling 18, positioning 16, teamwork 17, work rate 16. His value though is fairly low. I would kind of look at that. I wouldn't want to sell him. And then attack again, you've got players like Di Maria, David Neres, Jean Mario, who can play multiple positions, Rafa. So, hey, you've got multiple options. I would say 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, again, to try and get the best out of these sort of players. But you've got the option to go with whatever. And again, when it comes to the tactical style, you've got the control possession, gegenpress, tiki-taka or vertical tackle are the proactive tactical styles, and those are the ones I'll be looking to go for. Doesn't mean to ignore wing play or fluid counter attack, because you can absolutely choose one of these presets and then easily just tweak it so it's more suitable to the tactic. If you don't know what to do, so in your tactic screen over to the right hand side, you've got like selection, advice, and quick pick. So what you can do is use quick pick. There's a little drop down menu. Mm-hmm. Go to pick without restriction and then pick the best 11. And now your assistant will sort of give you an idea of what the best 11 is. And again, pick that drop down menu and you've got pick roles and duties. And now your assistant will sort of find roles and duties that he thinks will combine well, but also what suits the players that are on the pitch.
Mm, yeah, exactly. Remember, there's always little hints and tips in this game for us, isn't there? If you don't know the clubs,
yeah, there is.
Well, and then if you were to take a little look around at some other sides as well, you mentioned Vittorio,
yeah,
your team. What's the rationale behind that? What stands out for you there?
It's mostly the youth facilities, the youth facilities, and the decent squad. So this is one of the squads that we was talking about earlier that are able to sort of push for those top three spots. The key players here, we've got Andre Silva, who is a winger / striker. I'll probably play him up front. He likes to shoot from distance. And if you've seen long shots in this game, oof, they can be amazing. Mm-hmm. So he could be a little firecracker. Bruno Varela is a goalkeeper. Pretty decent. Now, he doesn't command his area very well, but I mean, he's got reflexes. He can kick the ball, decent one-on-ones. So he seems like he's a super keeper, but just watch out for that command of area. Mm-hmm. Make sure you've got centre-backs out who can command the box instead. Thiago Silva is more of a playmaking midfielder, aggressive midfielder. He's got a high work rate. This guy's a very decent player. I've never come across him, but I mean, he's 30 years old. So he's probably not a player that you'll sign, but if he's in your squad, you're always going to play him. He's all round. The best thing about him is his work rate, but he's very good technically. You also got João Mendes, another playmaker in the side. Mikel Villanueva. This is the guy that we mentioned earlier with 17 jump and reach, but just can't head the ball. And then we've got Jota Silva as well, another attacker who's got decent flair, decent dribbling. So you've got some creative players, some fun players. Defensively is possibly where you're going to struggle. Tactically, I'm not that familiar with the squad, so I wouldn't give any advice on that. And then lastly, the other team was Casapia, who's a little bit behind Vitoria, but again, got a very decent squad. The key players are Pablo Roberto, another one of those midfielders who can create, but he would love to work hard. 18 aggression, 13 work rate, but then his vision's on 15. Mm-hmm. We've got Leonardo Lello, who I've signed about 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times on Football Manager already, dating back from FM23.
Is he this year's Gallardo for you? Is he?
Yeah, he's like, his value now is 1.8 million. If I don't want to really go through all his attributes for the audio listeners, but for those looking or listening to me on YouTube or whatever it is, the acceleration, 15, pace, 14, stamina, 14, fitness, 16, determination, 16, flair, 13, off the ball, 13, teamwork, vision, work rate, tackling, technique, penalties, he's got all of it. The first touch, dribbling and crossing is on 12, but he's 23 and this stuff does get better as well. The value is 1.2 to 1.8 million. That is ridiculously low. At the start of this save though, the save file that you've got, Arsenal, Liverpool, Tottenham and Braga are after him. We've also got Yuki Soma, a winger. Mm-hmm. He can play wing back as well. So if you want to play a back three, he's going to be a very attacking wing back. And then we've got Clayton as well up front, who's another... You know what? There's some very aggressive players in Portugal, Tony. Mm-hmm. What's happening over here? I'm clicking on this like aggression 17. What's going on here?
Yeah, well, this is going to lead me into the next little bit, really, isn't it? Like we've touched a little bit about tactical styles, and I know we've floated the idea that it's all silky and it's skillful and it's technical, but I think it's got a little bit more grit and roughy redness in it, Portugal. It's not quite, you know, like... El Clasico La Liga. Well, I suppose El Clasico has got a bite to it, hasn't it? It's got a little shade of the dark. It's Atletico Madrid.
That's it. It's the dark arts. It's the dark arts. It's a little bit like France as well. I remember players speaking about France and how like we talk about the intensity and stuff and how physical it is. Not even really the intensity, but how physical it is in England and France is very similar in how physical it is. So it's not a surprise with some of these players that can translate well from Ligue 1 to the Premier League. Even like Mahrez, like you just look at him, or Dimitri Payet, you look at these guys and you're like, oh, they might not hack it in the Premier League. And they come and it's just absolutely ruined. Yeah. Especially like Mahrez, like he's been through all those rough challenges. People trying to, if you look at Mbappe's legs after a game as well, like do people, this is what the league undo to people as well. That little kick over, kick the people about and stuff like that. But this is where Mahrez practiced, and is he able to skip those challenges? Comes to the Premier League, cuts in, skip those challenges, and it's all too easy for him.
So you've mentioned something that's interesting as well, in the fact that Rio Ave there had a player that was ready for sale to the Premier League.
Casapia,
I have a player that's ready for sale for the Premier League. In terms of generating cash for Portugal, what do the league rules look like? What's the restrictions? Have we got anything on there? Players we can sign, players we can't sign? Like, are we stuck for a foreigner limit rule, or is it pretty lax?
It looks pretty lax. So I'm looking at the transfer relegation rules. It's just got, it's telling me loan rules. There's no real transfer rules here. So squad registration, we've got minimum of seven first team year senior players in the squad. I mean,
you need at least 11. If you only register 7, you'll be fine, right? Quick question, just while this episode's on, have you subscribed to the FM show, either on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts from, if you're listening on audio feed? If you haven't, can we ask a little favour? Maybe you might want to consider doing that. You might want to help us out. If you do want to help us out, please hit that subscribe button. It means a lot to us. Of course, if you leave a like on the video, if you've enjoyed it, leave a comment below. Obviously, it's the same on audio platforms as well. Little comments, little 5-star reviews and that, they really mean a lot to us, and it helps boost the show, and it means that people are enjoying it and it becomes more visible. Obviously, you can do that via social media as well. You can follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, however you want to do that. Or come and join the Discord. The Discord's a great place to hang out. You meet like-minded individuals from the community. You get direct access to myself, producer Steve, RDF Tactics. What more can you say? I mean, that seems totally fair. It costs nothing, and it really helps the show out. So hopefully, that's the sort of thing you might consider. If you do want to give us a little bit of love, come and support us. Come and subscribe to the show, because you know what? We enjoy it, and we like you. So you know what? Back to the episode. So you have to register 7 as a minimum. Massive 11 nonsense. Just 7, lads. Just sort that out.
In the Premier League, you've got a maximum of 25 players, I think, you can register.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In here, you've got a maximum squad size of 53 players.
53. I get 99 in Greece. Come on, this is half of what I'm dealing with.
Players can be signed on a free transfer and registered at any time. I didn't know that one, actually.
Ooh, anytime. Yeah.
Anytime can be players signed on the free transfers can be registered at any time. That is a nice touch. Hey, Zlatan, come on, play the last 3 games, lads.
Hey, are there any of you goalkeepers? Because I've got really important European matches and a cup final.
I am. But there's no. I'm looking for foreign rules.
I think it's fairly restricted. I think it's fairly easy. Isn't it on the registrations? I think
I'm just looking at it. I'm thinking in my head. I'm like, there must be a rule here, so I can see with the loan rules. There's maximum of 7 foreign-based players over the age of 22. I mean, you might as well just not had the rule there. Yeah. And yeah. I'm looking at the Casapia squad, and no one's got the foreign sign next to them. So, yeah, I don't think it's a thing.
Okay. And then in terms of places where you might want to start looking to bring players in, are we going straight about this? at least try and give me Uruguay first.
No, the thing is that obviously the language barrier is it's not difficult, is it?
Yeah.
Brazil, which is an all Brazil squad. Casa Brazil. Brazil. that might be my challenge. Yeah, that's me.
Little Aaron's samba beats.
You Brazilian? Yeah, great. Come in.
So does that mean then that you're going to play with a Brazilian box as well?
Ooh. I'm looking at Yuki Soma. I'm thinking he's a winger, so I'm sorry, lad.
He's gone. You're going to either have to be an advanced playmaker or nothing.
Cash for those Brazilians.
Okay, excellent. I'm looking forward to seeing how Casa Brazil develops over the 3 to 5 year period. Obviously, as I say, quick recap on the rules. It's a 3 to 5 year save. We suggest taking Porto, Benfica, or Sporting. You can pick whoever you want in Portugal. If you want to go into the second division, you're more than welcome as well. Have fun with it. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. Let us know how you get on. Don't, like, right, we'll do the do's first, right? Do pick a team. Do manage three seasons. Do let us know how you get on. Do it in Discord. The links in the Discord is below. And so is the save file. So take that save file. It's all set up for you. You don't have to do anything. Just add your manager to the save. So that's the leagues and everything's all in the background. So we've suggested some other nations there for players in. So it's all there for you. Do let us know how you get on. Tweet us. Have fun. Remember, there's no prize at the end. There's no real winner. Don'ts, Aaron. I've written a list of don'ts here. I've written, don't ask what tactic to download.
Yeah.
Don't ask what players to sign. Don't boast about how well you've done. Don't complain. Don't ask for more clarification on how you win the challenge, because there isn't. We don't win. No, basically, if you're going to download a tactic, do it. You know what I mean? Play the game however you want to do it.
Yeah.
Use it. Look at your sorts of players you've got. With regards to players to sign, yeah, you know, ask. Look, take as much help as you need. But yeah, just have fun with it, Aaron, isn't it?
Yeah, he's ready for. Is it Casa Brazil or Casa America where I can buy players just from like South America?
Oh, look at this! You've got him already.
No. Because there's a player in the team. He's 20. Where is he?
From Paraguay.
No, he's from Venezuela, and I'm like, oh, I think I want to build a team around you. Oh. Maybe you want a mate. Maybe you want another Venezuelan.
Venezuelan. Okay. Yeah. That's going to be interesting then, isn't it? Build a Venezuelans. Aaron, you can build whatever you want, my friend. Right? You can build whatever you want. Basically, the save file is going to be in the Discord. The breakdown of the rules is going to be in the Discord. All your comments, I hope, are going to be in the Discord as well. Any questions, do feel free to ask them. With regards to comments we've had on previous videos, Aaron, we have had a video of a comment from Nick Fury, who's gotten touched quite a bit on the old YouTube. Nick Fury says that one thing Aaron didn't notice, now this was in the game management episode,
yeah,
was one thing you didn't notice was the real reason that Ipswich scored from the corner is that by putting the right back on support, brackets with a yellow card, facing off with their left winger, who was looking like he was on attack duty, as the heat map showed, it put a lot of pressure on the right flank, especially with the Mazzala going attacking as well. Ipswich kept getting corners on that flank. So there you go. That's the joy in it, of being able to sit back and take
yeah,
it all
yeah,
in.
I was going
like,
to say, yeah,
we were doing
yeah.
it in the moment. And,
yeah.
And you're right. Once you can step back and look at it, you're like, it opens up everything.
That's
so
the post-match analysis. Yeah, that's post-match analysis
spot.
There. I was just going to say the same thing. Is like, I can imagine that sort of foot manager on the sideline is like, you're not going to spot everything that's going on at the same time. We also got a manager. Wow. We also got a comment from Simon.
They're all managers, Aaron. They deserve the respect that they deserve, right?
We got a message, almost done it again, from Simon Hinton, 3856. Been playing Champ Man since the 90s. I am like Tony, never touched the player instructions.
Us 90s lot were a different breed, aren't we?
But isn't that how you built the tactic before, though? Wasn't it more because you're like every player had like their own thing in it, so you'd move like the mentality, the passing.
No, like, you're a
freedom.
Bit,
was it
a little
what
bit,
was it?
No.
Creative freedom? Was that because it wasn't like wrong from position? I'm trying to remember what it used to be.
Be disciplined and be expressive.
Be expressive. That's the one. Be expressive. Yeah.
I wasn't getting into the individual bits. There was a couple of matches where I managed to do it in game and say to Job going, oh come on, you're giving the ball away too much, right? No more risks for you. This guy's like, you need to stick, hold your position. So there's a couple of matches I've done it in game, but to set up the tactic with specific instructions beforehand, I just tend to go, look lads, this is the rough shape, this is how I want you to play, feel out on the pitch. If it's going wrong, I'll tell you you're doing it wrong and we'll change it as we go along.
We also had a comment from Danny Gaming as well. Had me crying, lads. Great pod. I hope that's tears of laughter.
I presume it's only tears of laughter. I can't imagine there's anything else. Unless he's crying because the show was over, Aaron, which is possible because we've come to the end of this week's episode as well.
Now so we've come to the end of the Not the podcast, just the episode, because that just sounded real sad.
That sounds like we've given up. Like we haven't, by the way. We haven't. We're still very much here. And if you want to check that we're still here, you can follow us on all the social media, can't you, Aaron? Where can they find us?
They can find us at the FM Show Pod all over the social intertent. That's Twitter, that's Instagram. You can find us on YouTube as well, the FM Show. And make sure you go and check out the Patreon, the FM Show Pod. Show. Pod show. Thing. I got it earlier, so that's all that counts. That's all that counts.
Yes.
The link's in
the show.
The link's in the description.
If you enjoyed the show, please remember to like the video, share it, leave a comment below, tag us in all your comments on social media, and of course, join the Patreon. Patreon.com/TheFMShowPod. And if you want to send us an email, it's thefmshowpod@gmail.com. Aaron, can't wait to see how everybody gets on with the community challenge. We're all off to Portugal. Take care of yourselves, everyone. We will see you all on the next one. Bye for now.
Want to learn even more about Football Manager? Subscribe to the Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/thefmshowpod. Don't forget to rate and review, and follow along on the socials at the FM Show Pod.